Then I think we start off with Rachel's presentation. It's a short update on the Better Communication Initiative. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Rita, and good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for taking the time to come and give us advice on our IFS taxonomy. We really do appreciate the fact that you spend your valuable time helping us out on taxonomy. As we've discussed at previous taxonomy meetings, the board is looking at how they can improve the communication of financial information in financial reports. And they've labelled this initiative the Better Communication Initiative. The taxonomy is, of course, a really important part of that overall better communication theme. And what I'd like to do today is to give you an overview of the whole of the better communication theme, so you can get a better understanding of how the taxonomy fits into it and how the advice that you've been providing us with today will help us with that overall better communication. In the slide packs, I think if you could turn to slide 3, this gives you an overview of the better communication theme. We have 3 main components of that theme. The first is the disclosure initiative, and the disclosure initiative is actually looking at ways in which we can improve the disclosures in the financial statements, so looking at ways we can improve the notes in the financial statements. An important part of that project is a discussion paper that we published last year, which is called the Principles of Disclosure Discussion Paper. And we're going to look in a little bit more detail at some of the feedback that we received from that Principles of Disclosure Discussion Paper at the first session at this one this morning. The second aspect of the better communication theme is the primary financial statements project. Now this project is looking at the face of the financial statements, so it's looking at the statement of financial position, the statement of financial performance, and the cash flow statement, and we're looking at ways in which we can improve the structure and content of those statements. Now I suspect that this project will have some significant implications for the IFRS taxonomy, it will almost certainly lead to changes in the taxonomy to reflect any new subtotals, any greater disaggregation, any new required line items that come out as a result of that project. And I've got a few slides in this presentation today to give you an overview of the sorts of things that we're thinking of as part of that project. And then finally, of course, we've got the IFRS taxonomy, and I'll spend a little bit of time just talking you through what the team is looking at in terms of the development of the IFRS taxonomy and how it fits into the sessions that we've got together. Now, actually, this slide is slightly out of date because at the moment it's showing 3 main components to the better communication theme, but as a matter of fact, there is a new 4th component to the better communication theme, which is work that we're doing on our management commentary practice statement. Now, the Management Commentary Practice Statement was issued a few years ago and provides guidance, non-mandatory guidance, on how to present information in the front half of the annual report, so in a Management Commentary or an MD&A. It has guidance that has resulted in elements within the taxonomy, but there are actually relatively few elements arising out of the Management Commentary Practice Statement. However, we're looking at revising that, and that could therefore have some implications for the IFRS taxonomy and lead to revisions of those elements that are currently reflected in the taxonomy. But this project is still at quite an early stage, and so we'll let you know closer to the time when we have a better view of what changes might result from the revisions to the Management Commentary Practice. So if we can now just turn to slide 4, this is looking at another area that is falling under the broad umbrella of best communication, but I think it's much broader and affects the entire work of the board, which is technology and the impact that developments in technology could have on financial reporting and standard setting in particular. One of the messages that we keep hearing from our stakeholders is that we need to think a little bit more deeply about what financial reporting will look like as a result of changes in existing technology. And we've heard that feedback and we're undertaking some activities to try and get a better understanding of what's out there and what potential impact it could have on us. As a result, we're looking to recruit a technology lead, or we're about to do that. We will look at and research the whole area of technology as it is relevant to financial reporting and to standard setting, with a view to developing an overall digital strategy. That's all still very much at an early stage, but we are undertaking these activities. And one thing that we would like from you guys today is to get a better understanding of how technology should be considered, in particular in relation to our principles of disclosure discussion paper and in relation to our development of disclosure requirements. And that's going to be the focus of the next session in today's meeting. I promise you I'd give you a brief overview of the Primary Financial Statements Project and the implications that you have for taxonomy. So if you could turn perhaps to slide number 6, that gives you a general overview of the Primary Financial Statements Project. The scope of this project is very much focused on the Statement of Financial Performance, so the profit or loss and OCI. The reason for that is that we've been told that that's where most of the existing problems arise in financial reporting, in that there is insufficient comparability between entities in the way in which they communicate their financial performance. And what we have been told is that if we can introduce greater structure and comparability to the statement of financial performance and encourage greater disaggregation of information in that statement, then that will help users and investors to understand the financial performance much more clearly. So that's where our focus is going to be. We'll be looking at introducing additional subtotals into the statement, encouraging greater disaggregation, introducing new sections, and I'll go into a little bit of detail of what we're looking at there. We'll also be looking at ways of better communicating information in other comprehensive income, which is unfortunately largely overlooked today. We will be looking at some, if you like, consequential amendments to the statement of cash flows, but really we're not undertaking a fundamental review of that statement. Instead, what we're looking to do is to reduce the number of options that are currently available for that statement. Again, looking at trying to increase comparability. Statement of financial position, again, not really a focus of the project, but some of the guidance that we'll be giving on disaggregation of information, encouraging greater number of line items, will be applicable to the statement of financial position. We're not specifically looking at statements of changes in equity as part of this project, because we have a separate project on financial instruments with characteristics of equity that we'll potentially look at presentation in that statement. Some sort of other general things that we are looking at, there is an idea that we might want to develop templates for primary financial statements. So looking at particular industries and developing templates that would illustrate how a statement of financial performance, a statement of financial position could look like. That again is still at an early stage, and there's a question there whether that should be non-mandatory guidance or whether in fact it should be something more mandatory. Either way, if we do develop templates, then what ends up in those templates will ultimately end up in the IFRS taxonomy. So again, I think that will help to improve the way in which the primary financial statements are contained within the IFRS taxonomy. Slide 7 goes into a little bit more detail about what we're looking at in the statement of financial performance. And sets out some ideas that we've had to increase the number of line items, increase the number of subtotals, and introduce some new sections into that statement. So if you look at the green shading on the on slide 7, those line items are there to reflect the financing activities of an entity. And so, in effect, we're introducing a requirement for a financing section with some specified line items that have to be provided within that financing section. As a result of that, we end up with a subtotal, which is the profit before financing and income tax subtotal, and that would be a required subtotal in that statement. That is broadly equivalent to what many people call EBIT in current reporting. We've also proposed to introduce an investing category into the statement of financial performance, and this would include income and expenses from investments. And by investments, we mean assets that an entity holds, which generate income largely independently from the other assets of the entity. So it's looking at things like an equity investment that's held by a corporate entity. It's those sorts of items that end up in this category. Again, because we've introduced this category, category, we then have another mandatory subtotal that is required above that category, and that's the profit before investing, financing and income tax. Now that's all a bit of a mouthful, but I think a lot of people would see that as being broadly equivalent to an operating profit type subtotal. We're not calling it operating profit, and we're not defining what we mean by operating, but I think a lot of people have been thinking about that subtotal in that sort of way. So that's the sort of proposals that we have around some greater structure in the statement of financial performance. Now that is calling, responding to the call we've had from stakeholders for greater comparability in the financial statements. But we've got a sort of competing call as well, in that many people tell us that actually they want flexibility for the preparer to be able to tell their own story about their financial performance. And that if we put too much structure into the statement of financial performance, that restricts their ability to do that. And so one thing that we have been exploring is whether we can introduce some more management-defined performance measures into the financial statements. These are often called non-GAAP measures or alternative performance measures at the moment. We have been discussing this with the board a few times, and I think one of the big debates that we have around these management-defined performance measures is whether they should be given the prominence of being included on the face of the statement of financial performance, or whether actually those disclosures should only be in the notes. And we have a discussion next week about where within the financial statements these management performance measures would be required to be provided. Slide 8 sets out what the management performance measure might look like if it was decided to put it in the statement of financial performance. Slide 9 looks at the disclosures that we would be requiring them in the notes, regardless of whether the measure was introduced into the onto the face of the statement of financial performance or whether it was in the notes. And what it does is what we would be requiring would be a reconciliation between that management performance measures and the subtotals that are defined within IFRS as having to be included in the statement of financial performance. The reason we're doing that is that investors have told us that they really want to understand the difference between the management's view of performance and the amounts that are required by IFRS, and that if they can get an understanding of that, they can then get an understanding of whether they agree or disagree with the adjustments that the entity is making to the IFRS numbers. Slide 10 sets out the interactions that we see between the primary financial statements projects and the IFRS taxonomy. As we said, if we introduce additional line items, additional subtotals, within those statements, then that will undoubtedly have an effect on the taxonomy. And clearly, if we go down the route of developing templates, that will have a big impact as well. So moving on to briefly talk about IFRS taxonomy activities and what the team has been working on over the last few months and are looking to work on over the upcoming months. Slide 12 sets out what I think you all know, which is what we tried to do with the IFRS taxonomy, and I think we largely succeed in doing that, is to reflect the presentation and disclosure requirements of IFRS standards and common reporting practice in a timely and accurate manner within the IFRS taxonomy using an appropriate data model. As a result, we usually have two areas of activity. We look at the impact that new or amended IFRS standards will have on the IFRS taxonomy, and we look at common reporting practice. Now, we're in a relative period of calm in terms of standard setting at the moment. We have few standards coming, new standards coming out, and as a result, those standards are likely to have only a minor... It's unlikely that will be a significant effect on the taxonomy coming out of anything that we're issuing. That means the focus of the team is largely going to be on common practice, and we have a session later on this afternoon to talk about some common practice analysis we have done in relation to disclosures around fair values, and then we will also be asking you for any suggestions you have for other new common practice projects that we should be implementing. Slide 13 sets out what I've just said in terms of the upcoming IFRS standards. We have a number of minor things in the pipeline, which we don't think will have a significant impact on the taxonomy. Obviously, if that view changes as a result of the work moving forward, we will let you know. But we don't see anything major coming up on the horizon in terms of new standards. Slide 14 sets out another area that the team has been spending a lot of time working on, which is supporting implementation of the IFRS taxonomy. We look to support both regulators and preparers in their use and understanding of the taxonomy. And as you all know, we've released the IFRS taxonomy preparers of guide towards the end of last year, and we've had some really good feedback on that. But what we would like in one of the sessions today is to analyse what additional support we could provide. Are there additional things that we should be including in the IFRS taxonomy preparers guide? And in addition, are there other things that we could and should be doing implementation for both regulators and preparers of the IFRS taxonomy. Slide 15 sets out something that we seem to always be talking about, which is entity-specific disclosures. And the staff have been working closely with XBRL International and ESMA on entity-specific disclosures, and we're going to discuss that topic in Agenda Table 6, which I think is later on this afternoon. So that gives you a sort of brief and quite quick overview of best communication and the work that the taxonomy is doing, and hopefully gives you an idea of how it fits into the discussions that we're going to be having at the meeting today. With that, I'll pause and see if you have any questions or comments.
Kind of you talk about the performance measure.
Sorry, the mics are on the open mic, so if you...
I shut it off.
Actually, I think it's still
flashing,
which may have been.
Yeah.
1 second.
I'll just need to.
No.
It seems that it's making some noise. You talked about performance measures and the fact that there's a reconciliation to the gap measure. What I find interesting about that is those reconciliation items, quite often that tag is already in existence in the IFRS taxonomy. Therefore, I think it's very conducive to have that be tagged, and it's really not even any extra work for the taxonomy team because those are in there. I think that would be valuable for an investor. Plus, oftentimes there's one item of maybe 4 or 5 reconciling items that is not in the taxonomy because it is the unusual thing. It makes it pop out a lot easier if you're looking at it from an analyst point of view as to here's the strange item. It's not a tag in the taxonomy, so obviously it is something unique. So anyway, I think that's very easy and valuable to have that tagged. The other thing I wanted to bring up was there's 3 or so things in the better communication theme, 3 themes. One of them is IFRS taxonomy. I'm sure it's not a third of the focus if there's 3 things. I'm kind of wondering, is it just sitting in the background and, you know, the change to the financials is really driving everything? Kind of the, we've always said we don't want XBRL to be the tail wagging the dog, but to what extent is it just sitting there being wagged by the dog?
I think it's fair to say in the past the taxonomy has very much sat in the background and we have been reactive to what's been coming out of the standards. What we're trying to do is actually to change that and to change the mindset of the rest of the technical team to say that, look guys, you need to start thinking about how this information is going to be translated into an electronic financial report right from the start. It's no good just thinking about paper, you need to think about electronic reporting. So you need to start talking to the taxonomy team as soon as you're even thinking about anything to do with presentations and disclosures. Not when everything's been done, but right at the initial development phase. And we're pushing that really heavily with the taxonomy team. And we're looking at sort of ways in which we can integrate the taxonomy and the technical team more closely than they have done in the past, and that really is a focus, and I know that
Neely
feels very, very strongly about this.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, historically, I think that what you observed is probably right, but it,
one of the things we heard with our advisory council meeting back in October, there are sort of the strategic advisors for the organization, is the need to really prioritize technology within the organization and identify a technology lead who's going to drive this. And the key part of that is, in my mind, the taxonomy, and as Rachel expressed, embedding taxonomy thinking throughout every step of what we do. So I think you'll see more of that. As we develop our strategy, it'll become a little more better crystallized and we'll see it going forward.
Michael?
Just wanted to say that four words brought my attention. Digital strategy and data model, and I wanted to strongly applaud the team for bringing those words here because I think they are absolutely critical. We've been talking about this for a while, but if we look at the development of that over the past years, we focused on data. We really need to think about how this data is used and how the contents of the IFRS statements will be used going forward, especially in the context of some developments, regulatory developments, and the technological developments in the space of accessibility of data. So, very strong applause for that. Thank you.
One thing is that wanted to mention about the management performance measures. This item might be a little different characteristic from other items because maybe each company will have different definitions. In that case, is this one item, one unique item, or each company will define different items? So this is maybe it's better to discuss here which type of the item is more easier to use for the users.
The purpose of the management performance measure is to allow entities to provide their own view of performance. So what that means is that it's likely to be unique to the particular reporting entity. It's likely that it won't be comparable to similar to other companies' management performance measures. And one of the things that we need to make sure is clear in what we're doing is that that lack of comparability is clearly disclosed. And the reasons why it's different from standard measures, so the IFRS measures, is also clearly disclosed, which is the reason for the reconciliation that we have in one of the slides here.
Yeah, in that case, this is only this item might be different relation, have a different relation between other existing items. So some company including other one items in one, for example, usually like the share of profit. And other company is not including this share profit, so that the relation between other items might be different from each different companies. So maybe these items, if you set these items on the standard taxonomies, how user can use these items, this might be the discussion point in near future.
Yeah, I think we're aware of that there are implications, that because these are unique and these are entity specific, we need to think carefully about how they're represented in the taxonomy.
We have similar problems, so that I wanted to mention that.
So following up on that, how do you actually capture that communication? So how does the board here look at the market activity around extensions, so aggregating the data? So this group and others may be able to provide you with that information through data sets that you could use in an analytical fashion. So there's actually a feedback loop. So that's part of the communication. It's not just how the filers communicate, it's how they actually can understand what the market's doing with their information, what's relevant, what's not, one point. The second point on the idea of subtotals, those are presentation ideas. So in an XBRL concept, now, I can put a subtotal wherever I want if I understand what the elements are. So that may be an emphasis without a point. And if I transfer that over to like the non-gap concepts, those are concepts that if they're defined, then everybody understands what they are, but typically they're not well defined. Retail sales per square foot. Retail sales might be the gap number. No one knows what the square footage number is. Is it retail square footage? Is it office square footage? What? A stupid example, but there you go.
One thing I should just emphasize, actually, and I didn't make that clear in the presentation, is that when we're talking about these management performance measures, we really are just focused on measures of financial performance. performance. And so the things like retail sales per square foot, which have a financial and a non-financial component, aren't a focus of our activities.
Got it. So all these would actually be able to be tied back to the taxonomy.
Exactly.
So then it's an assembly idea for the user.
Yes, that's right.
Got it.
Just one second.
I think as a process matter, we're all trying to understand. We don't really need to touch the microphones.
Yes, it's,
they're all open, right?
Yes, they're all open. So,
excellent point by Mike, and it is about communication. So one of my favorite, which is really, and I think it started in the last conference call. First time now, we have all the filers using, you know, the IFRS taxonomy filing to one of our premier, you know, the regulator. The question I have, what mechanism we have to bring all those, you know, the so-called custom tag and really transfer it to standard tag. Today I will be sharing, you know, we have used 233,000 plus custom tag, including mappers and that sort of thing. But when I was really looking on those numbers, and I thought, oh, there are several kind of the accounting concepts should have standard tag, which we don't have in IFRS. So my question is very simple. What mechanism we have and what kind of communication and feedback, just following, you know, the mic, you know, the questions. Have you thought anything about this thing?
We'd hope that this ITCG group would provide us with the feedback mechanism on it. And I think one of the things we're enormously interested in, you know, what you're finding in terms of the implementations, what custom tags you're seeing, and as a result, what common practice projects do we think we should be undertaking? Because I suspect that there may be some places where, I hope there aren't, but there may be places where there are errors or we haven't properly reflected the standards, and in which case we need to make sure that we do that. But I suspect that most of those custom tags are arising from common practice, and what we need to do is just say, well, look, we probably need a common practice project in this particular area, because this is one area where we're seeing lots of custom tags coming up. Perhaps in the session this afternoon, when we're talking about the common practice, if you've got some ideas about things that we can do, that are really incredibly helpful. And also offline, if you can provide us with information about the sorts of areas where you're finding problems, will be enormously interesting.
You got it.